Do you have the next great American novel in you? You just don't know how to get it printed? Well, this is a show for you. Even if you don't have that and just want to get something published, we're going to talk about all kinds of great self-publishing tools available on the internet today, all at a very low or no cost. We'll be talking with Pastor Rob Gunther from Kenai, Alaska, about his self-publishing efforts and all kinds of other things related to getting your stuff out on the web. Stay tuned.
This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network, sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello again, everybody. Welcome back to the Wells Tech Podcast. This is episode 278 for March 5th, 2013. This is a show about technology and ministry, where those two meet. And we have a good time here, and hopefully you will, too. Thanks for joining us. And joining me in that good time is Sally Draper from Sleepy Eye. Hi, Sally.
Coming to you from the Great White North.
Here. Is it snowing?
Oh, it's snowing. Yep. Tis the season, I guess, and we're just going to enjoy it. Actually, my kids are going to enjoy it a whole lot because the high school called off school today. So,
well, they were predicting another snowmageddon here, but it never materialized, so we're only going to get a few inches. So I'm very thankful. We've had more than our share. Maybe you guys have too.
Yeah, it's been a snowy winter for sure, but it's all right. It's all part of it.
Yep. But Sally, we are on episode 278, rapidly approaching show 300, where we will be doing a live and in-person show from a location just down the road from you in New Ulm. So we're doing our prep for that. Synod Convention will be live there on stage, and looking forward to that. But we've got a few shows between now and then, and I'm kind of excited about our show today. We had an interesting interview with a longtime listener who we probably should have had on a long time ago, Pastor Rob Gunther from Kenai, Alaska. He's always been sharing cool things with us, and he definitely gets the technology and ministry thing, so definitely a friend of the show. But he did some interesting things recently that we wanted to highlight and maybe wrap a show around, and that is self-publishing. And a lot of our listeners write a lot of stuff, so this may be of interest to many people, where it's not as hard as it used to be to get published.
Yeah, I was very excited to talk to Pastor Gunther and just opened up a whole new world of tools that are out on the internet that we can all learn from and hopefully take advantage of to advance that gospel message.
Yep. So let's listen to the interview, then we'll come back and chat a little bit. Joining us on the show today, Rob Gunther, Pastor Rob Gunther from Kenai, Alaska, frequent contributor to the show. Long overdue that we had Rob on morning or afternoon, Rob. Maybe it's morning for you.
It's morning for me still.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I will retract that. Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. And good afternoon to you. And thanks for respecting the time zone differences.
Oh, absolutely. thanks for joining us. Like I say, we should have done this a long time ago. And thanks for all your contributions. And that was, there were a couple recently that caught our interest. And in fact, we're building a whole show around one of your recent contributions, and that's your publishing efforts. But maybe before we jump there, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you live, what you do, and a little bit about your background.
Sure. I live in Kenai, Alaska. It's a great place to live. I've got four boys, so it's a good place to bring them up. The most recent addition to our family was just born, I guess, 1 month ago today. So
congratulations.
Keeping me busy, but they're a lot of fun to take and share the Alaskan adventure with and go hunting with and stomping through the snow. So I have served here since 2010, July of 2010. I took a call from Gethsemane Lutheran Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. So, been kind of a climate change, I guess you could say, but
yeah, I guess
it's been good. So, I'm loving it up here. Lots of adventure, lots of fishing and hunting, and lots of ministry.
Doing a little ministry, on the side. Yeah. Good deal.
That's right.
Well, Martin mentioned already that you are a longtime contributor to our show. I had to look it up. We first mentioned Pastor Rob Gunther on episode 101, and here we are on about 277 or 278 these days. So we've been hearing from you for a while, and we
greatly appreciate that. So not a Wells Tech original, but he's made up for it.
Yeah. And I would say, actually, I told my husband the other day, you would like this guy. He's got a techie heart. And I would say you have, more than anyone else, at least shared tech and ministry applications. You've taken the tools that are out there and applied them in so many creative ways. And I guess kind of a background question would be, how did you get started with such a tech and ministry interest?
Well, I guess, you know, tech has always been, obviously ministry is a big part of my life, and I want to share the gospel, and I've always been kind of into tech since, you know, my first Nintendo system, and got my first computer in seventh grade, I think, and at MLC, they got me started working on the website. We had kind of an intranet, and I was learning HTML then, and so it's just kind of been, I think I'm a native to the tech, so... it's been kind of natural to look for ways that I can use that for what matters most and share the gospel. So,
cool. Well, we're glad you did. And which I think there's a lot of directions we can go. And maybe you can share some of the give our listeners a little bit of a tech project history. You've identified a number of things that you've identified as being good for ministry and helping you carry out that ministry a little bit more easily and effective. Share some of those, special projects that stand out in your mind.
I guess I use tech in a number of ways. I use it for personal organization, which I think is huge. Mm-hmm. I have the zero inbox policy. Followupthen.com really helps me with that. If I'm not going to get to it today, I'll just forward it to tomorrow at followupthen. And so my inbox is always at zero. That helps me because I'll use my iPhone then and my email as a to-do list. So, you know, I'm laying in bed and I'm thinking of something I need to do tomorrow. I'll just grab my phone, send myself an email, and it's out of my head and I can go to sleep. But then it's always waiting there for me. I check it first thing in the morning and I've got my to-do list and I've got my Bible reading plans all right there, everything in that one spot. So that's really helped me with personal organization. I'm a huge Google nerd. I like the Google Docs. All of my worship planning is laid out. I have my sermon texts picked for several months in advance, and that's all in a Google spreadsheet that I share with all of my musicians at church and the other pastors in the circuit. So they can go there and find out what are we preaching on, and you know we'll do a text study together. I use Google Hangouts like this, of course. On almost a weekly basis, I get together with the other guys in the circuit and share planning then in that way, where we look at the text together and we'll dig into it. We do our own on Monday, our own tech study, Monday, Tuesday, and then on Wednesday we get together to kind of share our insights. So that's been a huge blessing. We did that already in Raleigh with some of the guys down in that circuit. So, but it was easy to get it going up here too. The guys seem cool. Very on board.
Yeah. So did you bring them along or did you have some kindred spirits there?
We have a relatively young circuit. So mm-hmm. I think, you know, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 guys that are my age or younger. So, and even the other guys have gotten in on it too. So yeah, I kind of got them on board, but it was easy to do. I said, hey, this is great. Especially with Alaska, you know, my closest neighbor's 3.5 hours away.
Keeps you connected then.
Yeah. Especially the guys in Juneau and Fairbanks, you know, they can't really get, it's a 10-hour drive from Fairbanks down to Anchorage and Juneau is only accessible by plane or boat. So it's also my goal to keep those guys connected too and, you know, not let them be Lone Rangers. Although at our circuit meeting, we said Lone Ranger is a bad illustration. He had Tonto. So I'll let them be Rambos, I guess. So.
All right.
Very good. Well, I guess then we can get on to the topic of the day, and that is self-publishing. And as Martin mentioned, you wrote to us recently and told us that you had kind of an idea that you wanted to publish some of the work that you've done over the years, particularly sermons, I think, were what's featured in your first book. And you did it online with free tools, and you are in the Amazon web store. And we'd just love to hear how that all kind of happened for you.
Sure. Well, the third major use of technology for me is how can I get the word out? How can I spread the message? And so, of course, there's the webcast and the blog and an email list that I send the sermons out to every week. And I'm always looking for other ways that I can get the word out there. And I've been thinking about publishing for quite a while. And in Raleigh, I've started a devotional book stalled since I've moved. So I have three chapters, I think, of 12 written, and that's where it sits. But I thought, you know, I've wanted to do this for a while just to publish and just get books out there, because I think it's another great way, especially with the digital media, to share that message quickly. And, well, it was probably 4 or 5 years ago I looked into it, and it wasn't cheap or easy to do. You had to front, you know, a couple $100 in order to get the first printing done, and then the books would be sold in a web store. But recently, and I don't know how recently, because I just discovered it, Amazon has partnered with a couple of different companies. One is createspace.com. The other, I'm not sure, is I think it's ACX or something like that, that creates audiobooks, and they put them in the Audible store. And I checked it out, and I just looked at it and said, hey, this is pretty easy, and it's free. It didn't cost anything. If I had to do it over again, which I probably will next time, I'll just start with CreateSpace. I went first to Kindle Direct Publishing. There you go. Sally's bringing it up. And if you sign in, it's really easy. You upload either a PDF or a doc or DocX, and it converts it into an ebook for you automatically. And I started there and had an ebook out and just started advertising on Facebook and had a lot of people purchase it or download it right away. CreateSpace, I had a bunch of requests then from Facebook friends who are not quite the tech nerds that I am. And they said, can you get it in paperback? Because we want to read it. So I did some more Googling, really. And CreateSpace showed up as a partner with Amazon. So if you log in with your just Amazon account, you upload, again, the PDF. It helped me design the cover, did the back. It gives you an ISBN already. And it just made it very, very simple. They walk you through it step by step. It's really what you see is what you get, editor on the screen. When you're done uploading and you've got it all where you want it, they'll send you a PDF so you can see the image and click through it. CreateSpace has an online viewer so you can see what the book would look like, and then it also automatically makes it an ebook for you if you choose that option. It had a viewer that's built into its system then where you can see what would it look like on a Kindle or on a Kindle Fire, on an iPad, an iPhone, an Android. So you can preview it really all ahead of time. So I did that, and that automatically publishes it to Amazon. CreateSpace does it both the paperback, and then I had it right over the top of the other Kindle. So it kept the same ISB and just updated it and all that. So it was very, very simple. It really is step-by-step, walks you through it, and there it is in the Amazon store. Amazon and CreateSpace, I guess it would be the Kindle Direct Publishing, allows you to give it away for free for 5 days every 90. Now, you can't just give it away for free because they need to make their money too.
Right.
But I did that for 5 days and advertised it again through Facebook and through emails. And I was hoping to get 500 downloads in 5 days. I had 499.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. You should have told us. We had two more.
I downloaded.
Yeah. Oh, did you? Then it was me.
But I did have a couple people purchase the next day. So you set the price point. I tried to keep the price point as cheap as I possibly could so that, you know, my goal is not to make cash on this, but to get the message out. And it's been received very well.
Sure.
So
what's the quality of the book? Did you get a physical copy?
I did. I could go grab one, but I don't have one at my desk. I'm sorry. I should have thought that through.
Pretty good.
It's good. It's a nice glossy cover. Yeah. You design it all from start to finish. I'd recommend that you do a PDF upload if you're going to do it, because then it's what you see is what you get. The first time I did a doc and it did some reformatting that was kind of goofy. So it didn't work out great that way, but.
So do they paginate it? They add the page numbers, or do you have to put that in your PDF?
I put that in my PDF.
Okay. All right.
So then it's a little bit different than in the Kindle version, but.
No printing costs then for you. Like you said, you don't have to fund the first run of it. It's a print on demand kind of thing from their perspective, right?
Correct. So it doesn't cost me a thing. There's no initial fee at all. It's absolutely free to you. And I get, I think it's 30% on the ebook, and I think it's the same on the paper copy too. So I get a couple of dollars every month from the sales.
So you decided just to put together a collection of first-person sermons that you had already created. So the content creation was something you'd already done just in the course of your normal ministry, right?
Right. I thought, you know, rather than sit down and I do want to carve out time to do more writing, like I said, devotional books and things of that nature. But in the meantime, just to kind of get started and to try it out, I said, you know, I've already got all these sermons. The first person, I've always been kind of popular. People liked them when I did them. Mm-hmm. I don't do them that often. But I just said, you know, why don't I just take all of them together, compile them into a book. And so it was copy and paste the production, I guess, if you will. It took maybe an hour, not that long. The longest thing was having to reread my own sermons, which is kind of painful sometimes.
Oh, yes.
See all the typos in there and correct them and fix them and kind of tweak them a little that way. But other than that,
I understand the paperback is actually going to be in a bookstore there in your hometown, or?
Yeah, the local Christian bookstore caught wind of it, and I took a book in and said, here, this is a gift from me to you. I thought you might want to check it out and see if you'd be interested in selling it on consignment. And she said, absolutely. So I had a poster printed up and I got a couple copies sitting in there. And I think it'll be a good outreach locally too. So, but what I'm excited about is it really is high tech meets low tech. You know, it's a very easy way to use the technology God's blessed us with to get a paper book in people's hands. I said to my wife, how cool would it be if we had 500 people all of a sudden visiting, you know, Grace for the next 12 weeks? Well, we have 500 people who are committed to reading 12 sermons. So we're getting the message of God's grace out there in a very simple and easy way. And the free download, I intend to do that again when Amazon will let me and I'll get that message out. So
that's awesome. Yeah. Blessings on that. Those future works that you have in mind, that's very cool. And certainly not beyond the reach of probably any pastor out there at this point. So very cool. So what's coming up, not just in the publishing space now that you're a published author, but what other technologies are intriguing to you as they relate to ministry?
Well, I recently got an iPad, so I've been playing with that and trying to find new applications for that. I absolutely love it. When I first got the iPhone, I thought it was going to be kind of a gadget and a toy more than anything, but it has proved to be such a ministry tool that I wish I had gotten it sooner. I really do. And I think the iPad's going to be the same way, but I held off because I pretty much had the capability in the iPhone, but always in my pocket.
Right.
And the iPad, not so much. But
right.
But I'm enjoying it. I like using the camera a lot. You know, instead of jot a note, I'll take a picture and email it to myself. So I don't know that I have any major projects on the horizon right now. I think I'm going to try and do some more of the publishing. And
cool.
I just keep listening, and you guys always give me great ideas and things to try, and I'll keep checking those out.
Make sure you download that Wells mobile app right to the iPad there.
Yeah, I've got that. That's pretty nice.
Rob, thank you so much for taking the time. Appreciate it. You got lunch ahead of you, I think. But I for one, am excited about the possibilities of publishing here, whether it be digital or the old analog method. I think there's really a no lose scenario. You know, what have you got to lose? So thanks for sharing that. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Definitely. And I hope others will do it too. I'd love to read other guys' stuff and maybe some profs will throw up some essays and
make a
book. So
I'll just put a plug in that I nominate you for our first Wells Techer Hall of Fame inductee, because you definitely are doing some exciting things and we're happy to hear about them.
Thanks.
If you see your picture on the wall behind Sally, you'll know what that is.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Take care, Rob. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Blessings to you guys.
Our thanks to Rob, of course. And that's an exciting thing to see your book in a bookstore. That's cool.
Must be. And I have even breaking news for you, Martin. You aren't going to believe this, but we only interviewed him just a couple of days ago. And last night I was reading on Facebook. He's my Facebook friend. And he mentioned that he's now going into the audiobook business. So he is officially recording an audio version of his book and going to put it on Audible. So
cool.
Stay tuned, folks. Maybe we'll interview him again about how the audiobook recording option goes. So
is he going to do the actual audio recording himself?
You know, he didn't say, but I would almost guess that he is. We'll see.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So he was using a particular suite of tools, but those aren't the only ones available. That sounds like an easy path to get it on Amazon and in other places. But there are some lower or higher tech tools, depending on where you want to distribute it and how you want it to appear. There's all kinds of multimedia tools. Where do we start, Sally?
Well, I guess when I started talking about thinking about self-publishing, a couple of things that I'm familiar with jumped to mind aren't true ebook format, but the ability to upload PDFs and presentations. And there's two sites that are kind of the standards, industry standard for that, Scribd and SlideShare. So if you have things in those kind of formats and you want to share them on the web, now I'm not saying it would go into an ebook reader necessarily from there, but an easy way and a free way to share via the web, you can embed it on websites or whatever, is with Scribd for PDF or SlideShare for PowerPoint or Keynote.
Yeah, we talked about Scribd a while back, and it is a very cool and long-standing Web 2.0 application where if you've got it in PDF already, so if you've got a series of sermons like Rob does or some other work that you've been working on and just want to share it, Scribd is an easy way to do that. The format is maintained, and they've got a huge catalog and a huge following. Also, with Scribd, you can also charge. So if there is a fee that you want to attach to that they can either read online or pay to download the PDF and read it as an ebook per se, you can do that with Scribd. So that's one of the easiest ways to get your stuff online and readable. And SlideShare's been around a long time as well. So it's just a matter of getting your thing up there and making it available, and then it appears as a regular slideshow. So,
But also, we wanted to do our research on just the EPUB standard, the fact that that's becoming more and more accessible by all the different e-readers that are available on the market. And I turned to Wikipedia for some of that research. So we're going to include some links in the show notes just to bring people up to speed if they're interested in EPUB and what it's all about. Also, just a comparison of the different ebook formats, because EPUB isn't the only one. There are several format standards that have developed out there. I think EPUB is the biggest. But again, we'll have links in the show notes to these Wikipedia articles just to help you get your feet wet in this regard. As I was reading, I came to an interesting list. I am not sure which of these articles it was on now, but an interesting list of potential ebook creation tools. And one that jumped out at me was something called BookType. Which is an open source software. We actually played with the pro version that you can actually do online. It's a hosted version, but for the techies out there, they may want to download BookType and install it on their own server or whatever. Seems to be a pretty robust collaborative ebook creation tool. So you can work with other people to write a book online, and then it outputs it in the various ebook formats, mm-hmm. and you know, your links and your videos and your images and things like that come through in the ebook format.
Yep. So it strikes me as a kind of a wiki on steroids. It's a structured wiki. So you put all the characteristics of a wiki. So multiple contributors working together to build this, but then you add like a table of contents and page numbering, and you know, the power of any of these tools is going to be how they get output. Mm-hmm. So with BookType, it appears that they've covered all their bases so that you can output it in lots of different formats, EPUB being one of them, and then distribute that on the mobile platforms. EPUB was really created to accommodate some of these mobile platforms like Kindle and whatever. And as a result, that can be the standard. But you can read an EPUB on a computer. You do need special software to do that, but there's free software out there, you know, to read the EPUBs as well. So that is definitely an option. But we're gonna give book type a spin and see if we can use it for our summer Wells Tech project, our ebook that Sally's been pushing for a couple years now that we write. So we'll see how that goes. But book type will be the tool that we use. But book type is definitely not the only one. One that's been making a lot of news lately is something called Habitat from Inkling. It's a platform, a publishing platform that is competing with some of the major players out there. And a lot of book publishers are getting on board with this, where you can create very rich publications, including embedded audio, embedded video, slideshows, animations, interactive things that you can, touch and move, let's say on an iPad or, a tablet of any kind, those kinds of things. And so you can get very down into the code. You have to kind of understand HTML and CSS to understand how this is built, because they're built on those kinds of platforms. But the distribution model is the same as something like BookType, where once you press a publish button, it goes out to all the different formats, and it has a responsive design. So if you're reading it on a phone versus a medium-sized tablet versus a full-size tablet or a web screen, a laptop screen, it formats appropriately, and it looks beautiful in all those circumstances.
And so my question for you as you're talking about Inkling is, can you do it on a PC? Because that's the big drawback. The other major player, at least for iPad books, is the Apple iBooks Author. Right. And you have to have a Mac to use their software. Imagine that. Right. And so I was excited when you did say Inkling will work on a PC. You don't have to be on a Mac to do Inkling.
Yep, absolutely. It's web-based, so there's no tool that you need to install and those kinds of things. Now, I'm very impressed with iBooks Author. We've talked a little bit about it on the show in the past, but you do have to be in that Apple ecosystem to make this work, both on the creation side and on the consumption side. So I've actually played a little bit with iBooks Author as well, and I would say it's a lot easier to use than, let's say, something like Inkling Habitat, and it's probably a little more feature-rich in the publishing side, too, where it's just a beautiful presentation. They've got beautiful templates, and in true Apple style, they make it pretty easy to do, if you're willing, of course, to live within the Apple ecosystem. And I would say in some school situations, this might be a great way to build a textbook library. Very, very easy to put together. But again, you have to buy into, having Macs and having iPads, in the hands of the kids to be able to use this stuff. So there's some pluses and minuses. I don't think there's any, Sally, I don't think there's any magic bullet at this point. I don't think there's one solution that you can say, well, this is going to be the industry standard and this is where everybody needs to go. It's just not to that point. So you kind of got to pick your players and kind of stick with that. And hopefully you picked a horse that's going to finish the race.
Yeah, one more major player on this in this area that we wanted to make mention of is Lulu.com, where you can publish books, ebooks, photo books, and calendars. And this has fees associated with it. So if you create a book here, then you're going to be selling it, and they're going to get part of the profit off of the books you create here. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the Amazon model that Pastor Gunther shared with us. But yeah, a big player. You can see all the endorsements on their website from New York Times. To the Wall Street Journal, and Mashable, and thrown in there as well. So obviously you can't go wrong investing in a site that's that got that kind of prestige associated with it, and another place to create.
Yep, absolutely. And it's easier than ever. So be thinking about that New York Times best-selling book that you want to write, and you can easily do it. You don't have to go through the traditional models. And more publishers or more and more authors are going this route, and especially for smaller works. And I think maybe in our smaller circles, our Lutheran or Christian circles, this is definitely a viable option to be able to get stuff out there. Good ministry materials, whether they be, Bible study series or sermon series or, topical kinds of things or journals or whatever. This is an exciting thing, Sally.
I agree. And just kind of breaking down barriers, longstanding barriers that kept people out of the publishing world. So is that on your bucket list, Martin? I can say as a math and science girl, I have no desire to write the great American novel.
I don't know if I have a book in me or not. I mean, I like to write, but in shorter spurts. So okay. We'll see.
All right. Maybe stay tuned.
Maybe when I get older.
That's right.
I'll have more wisdom that's worth sharing. I don't think I have enough wisdom worth sharing at this point. So at least some that somebody would want to read. So let's go on to ministry resources, Sally.
Sure. I'm excited about what we were tipped off to on our Facebook page. Pastor Mark Parsons shared a link to Faith Lutheran Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia. Easy for me to say. And a series that's being written by the pastor there. I think this is Jonathan Schrader's church.
Correct.
And they're focusing on this new Bible mini series that's on the History Channel. Started this past Sunday evening. It's called The Bible. And what Pastor Schrader has done is given people that are watching the series reading guides and reviews and the rationale for the reviews that he is making of the mini-series. And so if you as a congregation perhaps want to view the series and have a discussion during your Bible class time or whatever, he's put together some really awesome resources. And it's not just around the mini-series and the things you maybe should be watching for and discussing there, but he has daily Bible readings and questions to go along with the things that are being displayed in the movie so that you can actually get into the Word and search it and find the actual the context and all the things around the scenes they've chosen to portray. Obviously, even a 10-hour miniseries is going to be compacting a whole lot of the Bible.
Right.
And so, you know, getting into the Word and actually getting the background and things that go along with what you're seeing, it's got to be a really good thing. So
yeah. I'm wondering how he's doing that, because it's, to my knowledge, it's not available on DVD or anything. So I'm wondering how he's getting a copy of that to get ahead of the game, which it looks like he's doing. So
yeah, I'm not sure.
We'll have to ask him when he's on the show in a couple of weeks.
Definitely. I can tell you that the reviews didn't come up until after the show played. So only the reading guides were available. So maybe there's something on their website that outlines what they're going to be covering.
What the subject matter is for that week.
That
probably makes sense. Did you get a chance to see it, Sally?
I didn't.
I didn't either. I don't get cable at this point. I've cut the wires or cut the cords, so to speak. So I don't have this. So I'm looking forward to hearing the reviews and seeing it on DVD or online when it becomes available.
Yeah. With a pastor for a husband, I'm always looking for great resources for him, though. So I thought it's worth downloading this, making a Bible folder somewhere on the church server or whatever. So when it does come out in DVD, then there's resources that we can reference to help
us get the discussion started. You're a good pastor's wife, Sally Draper.
There you go.
Let's move on to news and tech. And a couple things here. One of them is probably of interest to everybody who does any kind of work with bulletins or with sermons or putting together stuff that it requires cut and paste of God's Word. NIV 84 is quickly disappearing off the web. A lot of the major players, Bible Gateway, YouVersion, a number of other places are no longer making available NIV 84, probably at the behest of Biblica, which is saying, you know, NIV 84 is old news. We're going with the 2011 version. So it's harder and harder to find NIV 84 out there. There are still a couple places that you can find it, but I would assume that those are going to disappear very soon. So just be aware of that.
Yeah, and there was some discussion over on the Wells Tech listserv about this particular topic. A lot of good conversation there. And basically, if you're used to copying and pasting into your bulletin sections of the Word from the NIV 84, you could still do that from any electronic copies you own. So like my husband owns the NIV 84 and his Logos software.
Logos,
so
right, we'll have it, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, beyond that, maybe I think somebody suggested in some of your mobile apps, if you've purchased the NIV 84 version, you can still get it from there as well.
Yep, so. I noticed it's still available in the Glow Bible if you use that. So some of them are easier to cut and paste out of than others. So
right.
Just be aware of that, that if you think you're on the, that's another good thing here. A good thing to remember that if you think you're going to Bible Gateway and it says NIV, like you normally went to, just be sure you're on the right version. Cause, they have not made a big deal about this. It just happened. So,
right. One more news item worth mentioning, and that was a pretty high-level hack of a website. Evernote was hacked, and I'm just going to link in the show notes to the CNN article if you want to get a little more details. There's an article here. But I think upwards of 50 million accounts were compromised. They say everything's secure in terms of the notes you had saved on the Evernote site, but a good idea to change your password because it looks like email addresses.
They're forcing you to change your password.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The next time you log in, you'll be forced to. I had an interesting conversation with my son because I think this points back to the reason you don't want to use the same password on every site. Because if you change your password on Evernote, that's great, but maybe they're going to hit up other sites that you likely would use and try that same
password.
Your banking
site, your credit card site, or you know, whatever, right?
And so if you do use the same password, don't just stop at Evernote. Yeah, use different passwords everywhere. And my big recommendation there is LastPass to help
you. I'd be lost without LastPass.
And it'll even generate really cryptic passwords for you and save them so you don't have to remember them all the time. So, yeah, let that be a lesson to you.
That's right. So Evernote's a great tool, but everybody's getting hacked these days, so just be careful. Mm-hmm. Sally, it's about that time of the show where we do our picks of the week. What do you got?
Well, I am excited to share a homegrown pick. This is something I read about in the multi-language publication e-newsletter that recently came out. And it was all focused on our Road to Emmaus video, which I think is an awesome outreach video. But one of the articles it was very interesting that the fact that the road to the Emmaus really starts with people's general knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and the work that he did. So it might not be a great jumping off point to hand someone a Road to Emmaus video if they aren't familiar with Jesus and the story of the Bible. And so what this article recommended was actually a separate video called Jesus. And I wasn't familiar with this video, but it's available online. You can watch it for free. It's about a little over 2 hours long. And I loved that this article kind of walked you through that video, what you're going to see there, and a few caveats that you want to be aware of as you make use of that video. So there are, you know, things that you want to be sensitive to as Lutherans in our understanding of God's word isn't exactly portrayed the way we would. So I think this is a great article for anyone who wants to share their faith and has this electronic means to do that, but with the caveats that they've kind of outlined here. So check out the article about the Road to Emmaus and the Jesus video.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing that. My pick of the week is actually a Chrome plugin called Foxish Live RSS. The reason it's Fox-ish is that Firefox had a standard feature within their browser, which I don't use Firefox at this point. I use Chrome or Internet Explorer at work. Firefox had a plugin that would allow for live RSS feeds. So you would subscribe to an RSS feed, and it would become a bookmark for you. So when you went up to the toolbar in your menu bar, or whatever, and you know, clicked on the appropriate RSS feed, it would show you the latest feeds from whatever source you had plugged in. Chrome doesn't have that. And I got interested in this because I wanted to kind of simplify things a little bit for myself with my Digo library, and I'll get to that in a minute. But it's really easy to use. Once you install the plugin, you just go to your Chrome web store and search for the extension Foxish Live RSS. And then once you find a page, so I'll just demonstrate here for you that are watching at home, just go to a page that maybe you want to tag as a live RSS feed. So I've got to CNN student news. And when you're at a page that has an RSS feed, up in your browser, there'll be a little Foxish icon, and it says click to subscribe. And once you click that, then it's going to want to create a feed name where you want to store that feed, how many feed items do you want to show at any one time. Now, in this case, they only release two at a time, 2 days in the rears, but you could have as many as you wanted here, depending on the RSS feed, and then it automatically codes in the feed URL and site URL. Then once you hit subscribe, it automatically adds that bookmark bar to, you know, bookmark to your bookmarks, your bookmark list. In this case, I said we'll put it on the bar. And now when I click on that, actually it does pull in, you know, the previous ones. So I click on any one of these without having to go to the site, and it would come up with the appropriate content for that one. And it'll obviously refresh. I think it refreshes itself every 15 minutes. So as new RSS feeds come in, they happen. Now, the reason I was interested in this, Sally, is that I said, you know, I used Ego. And Ego is a social bookmarking tool. And why am I creating separate bookmarks in Chrome, which I am syncing through a tool called Xmarks, which is great. But I'm also I've got a whole list of great links over in Ego. Why am I storing links in my browser and also in Ego? So I said, well, let's just use Ego. Unfortunately, Ego doesn't have a great way of surfacing the bookmarks you want right in your browser. I mean, you can go to Ego and they've got this toolbar in Internet Explorer, but on Chrome, you really don't have that. So I said, well, how do I get my Ego bookmarks into Chrome up in my bookmarks bar, which is where I want to use them? So I use this tool because Ego, for every list that you create in Ego, has an RSS feed. So you could subscribe to your own lists in Ego and they will appear. So that's what I've got up here. I've got one called Work, one called Connect, one called Wells, one called Dev, Learning, Google, General. And every time I add something, you know, in my Ego list to my Wells list, it's going to appear here. Very cool. So now I anytime I save a bookmark, I'm saving it to Ego, and my Foxish Live RSS feeds just pick it up automatically and throw it up in my browser. So, you know, I got the best of both worlds. I got a great tool called Ego, you know, working for me, and now I can get one-click access to all that stuff, even in Chrome. So,
okay, so my brain's a little tired from following the connect the dots. But the good news is once you connect all those dots, you don't have to think about it anymore.
Yep. You just save it in Ego to the right list, and it appears in your browser. So
it's pretty slick.
It's cool.
So all right.
If you need a tutorial, let me know.
Step by step.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Let's move along to community feedback, Sally.
Yep. We got some community feedback. I love our Wells Tech community. And starting with Twitter, we heard from Ryan Rothschi. And he was following up on our show from last week when we talked about flipping classrooms.
Oh, yeah.
Just a word of caution. He says, be cautious with flipping. Digitized bad pedagogy is still bad pedagogy. So good advice, Ryan. You know, you want to start with good content and teaching styles and things like that. You don't want to just share bad stuff. So
correct.
Excellent. Excellent advice.
In fact, I would suggest it makes it worse. If you have bad pedagogy and now, yeah, exactly. So good point, Ryan. Thanks.
Yeah. Also, we heard from our friend Maren McPeak from out in California, and she said she is backing a Kickstarter effort. Have you guys heard of Kickstarter? Kickstarter is a way for people to gather money for startup cost for a particular idea. And so a neat way to kind of a tool to tuck away if you're thinking of starting up something new. In this particular case, she's backing something called Markup, Paperless Grading for Teachers. And I thought it was worth sharing for all those English teachers out there who are getting electronic copies of essays and things and then having to print them out to actually grade them or whatever. This you can do right on your iPad with a stylus and mark it up and send it back to the student. They see all your comments and your editorial rising on their essays or whatever. So seems like a good way to go. You can back it for just a dollar or two. They have different levels of supporting, and then you can get the app when it comes out because of backing it. So
cool tool.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Definitely. Sally, do you use a stylus with your iPad?
Occasionally, not real often.
I don't like it. I mean, I've got a couple styluses, and they do work. The problem is you want to rest your hand, like what you're writing on a piece of paper. You want to rest your hand on the sure. tablet, and they don't do a very good job at detecting the fact that your wrist is not trying to write versus a stylus. When they figure that out, then I think it would be valuable. And even something like this might be challenged by that. So
that's true. Yeah. All right. Next up from Pastor Rob Gunther. He followed up on my pick of the week, which was, I am totally drawing a blank now. Let me read his comment. 60-second recap last week where I was sharing the literature recaps
in
video format.
That's ancient history, Sally. Yeah. You can't be expected to remember last week.
Definitely slept since then.
Don't ask me.
He says it made him think of books should be free, and he has shared this with us in the past, and I actually used this as a pick of the week a few maybe it was even last summer or so, but Books Should Be Free is basically free audio downloads of classic books that are out of copyright, basically. And you can find all kinds of great stuff here. It's public domain books, but they have it all set up to go easily to iTunes. If you use iTunes playlist or whatever, it'll go to your Android, your Kindle, and other MP3 players really simply. Lots of different formats and options for downloading. So great resource to remind our listeners about.
Yep.
We also had several different emails, one from Pastor Weedman, who asked about online donations, and I'll just kind of reshare some of the links that we've shared in the past to things like Vanco. We had people talk about justgive.org and also easytithe.com. So yeah. Several different online donations. Their congregation is looking at adding that option. So. From Pastor-
if you use Final Web, then you also have that PayPal option, which is actually pretty easy now because PayPal will accept, you know, the credit card, the whole credit card thing. So
right. That's a very good solution as well. Pastor James Wilcox, who's at Good Shepherd's in West Allis, Wisconsin, wrote asking for ideas about texting his congregation. So he'd like to be able to easily send a group SMS or text messages to cell phones, basically. And we thought we'd ask our listeners if anybody out there has that kind of solution in place. We'd love to hear from you and how you're doing it. I did find an article on the Free Tech for Teachers, kind of from a classroom perspective, different free texting services that are available that Richard Byrne talked about.
School closings, that kind of stuff. Yeah, absolutely. I know there are a bunch of them out there, but if you've got experience with them, we would love to hear your feedback on how they work. I think what he's looking for is something to a large group, of course, but something that's scheduled or could be scheduled as well. So it's not necessarily when you push the button, it's going to immediately go out. You maybe want to send out at 5 o'clock or something like that.
So. Right, right. So, yeah, we'd love to hear about it. Next up, we had a lot of different links shared on our DIGO site. You mentioned DIGO earlier. It's a great way to share links to web pages. And starting with one from Randy Nepson. I think Randy's down in Texas. And he wrote to us to share a link to Charlie Rose's website. I'm not familiar with Charlie Rose, but apparently he does a lot of video interviews. Martin, is that somebody you've heard about in the past?
Yeah, but I'm not real familiar either.
Okay. This particular interview was with Salomon Khan, who's behind the Khan Academy. And it says, Randy wrote a note and said it outlines the new direction education enabled by technology should go. And Randy's wondering, would this approach help transform and rescue our Lutheran schools from a slow death? Wow. And enable truly global outreach. So perhaps something to watch and think about the effect on Lutheran schools.
Interesting.
Yep. Next up, Ryan Rosenthal shared a link to mappinghistory.uoregon.edu. So this is from the University of Oregon, apparently. And Ryan says this is a very cool site for historical maps. You can click and change the time period. So those of you that are teaching social studies, this might be a site to bookmark.
Very nice.
And then I wanted to share a video. Probably you've seen it now because apparently 9 million people have watched this video since last week when it was released. It actually was created for the website code.org, which is a new nonprofit that's out there that's promoting computer programming education in elementary school on up. And at code.org, they'll share resources with you, link you to different things that you can use in the classroom to teach computer programming. I think the video is just awesome. They pulled in a lot of tech gurus who talked about getting their first computer and starting to program because they wanted to, you know, impress their sisters or whatever, come up with some fun stuff to do on the computer. And as I dug more into the website, there's even a longer version. The one that they've really promoted is a 5-minute version. And you can see it has Mark Zuckerberg in it and Bill Gates and a lot of other very prominent techies, including an NBA star. And I'm not up on
Chris
the NBA.
Bosh, yeah.
There you go. And the fact that he learned to code in an after school, he called it the Whiz Kids After School Club. And that's what we call it, our after-school computer club. So I was like, all right. Cool. Anyway, I thought it was well done and that they've put together some great resources. I know one thing they link to is Code Academy. We've talked about that on the show before. And they have a whole after-school club program that they will send you resources to get started. And so good stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. And then finally, again, we'll make mention of our Wells Tech listserv we talked about earlier, the NIV 84 discussion. There's also been an alternate discussion from generated from Dan Scheffel, who asked about worship service projection technology and just kind of looking for best practices, what people are using. And a couple of things were shared there that I thought were worthy of noting. One was from Pastor Steve Schamber, who's at Holy Trinity in Wyoming, Michigan, and he shared a very thorough discussion of how they use Proclaim from Logos to do collaborative development of their worship resources. So multiple people can log in and work on the projection that's going to be for that Sunday, and he talks about how he backs up with, you know, a clicker at the stand in case someone's not, you know, advancing the slides the way they need to, or there's some technical difficulty. He gives you a really good overview. So we'll link specifically to his description if you're thinking of using Proclaim. There was also notes from Carl Nolte about HymnSoft and that you can copy text from the HymnSoft software to put into presentations. And then Pastor Nate Erickson shared a link to the Lutheran Music website, which has a fee-based PowerPoint download of all the public domain hymns from Christian worship. So you can get the hymns already in PowerPoint format, at least the ones that are public domain.
Right. Save you a little typing. Yep.
Yep.
Cool.
So good resources. We love that Wells Tech listserv because you can ask a question out there and 9 times out of 10, you're going to get a great response. And
at least more than one
ideas.
Answer for sure, too.
Yep.
So great community there.
And that's going to do it for community feedback for this
Sally,
week.
We should probably let our listeners know there's a new way to provide feedback on our website on wellstech.wells.net. You can give us a voicemail just by clicking a button right on the website. As you go there, you'll see a little tab on the right side that says send. What does it
voicemail.
Say?
Send voicemail.
Send voicemail. How clear can it be? So you click the little tab, up pops a little box and a big green button. It says start recording, and you get to speak, and it records you and sends it right to us. So no longer have to remember our phone number. You just go to the website, click the button. But if you prefer not share directly that way, we have links to Twitter, Facebook, Google+, Digo, Pinterest, of course. There's a link there to the listserv, all kinds of ways to get in touch with us. Or you could leave a message right there on the website. So, or send us a traditional email, wellstech@wells.net. Would love your thoughts, what you think of the show, what you want us to talk about, reactions to things you heard on the show or previous shows, your own pick of the week, yeah, anything you want to share. So lots of opportunity. Join the conversation, as we like to say.
That's right. And advance the ministry efforts with the use of technology. It's so exciting.
It is. Mm-hmm. Next week, I'm also excited about that. We have an interview with Professor Mark Paustian from Martin Luther College talking about a couple books he's written and ties in nicely with our conversation about Chapter 7 of Presentation Zen. We continue our book review, Sally. Yep. Lots of sample visuals, images, text, good stuff. So I think you'll enjoy this interview as well. Prepared to Answer and More Prepared to Answer are the two books. Maybe some of you have got those in your library. If you don't, you should. So tune in next week for our interview with Pastor Pastian. Sally, we're going to close the show with some special music, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm excited. We heard from our friends over at Koine that they have a brand new DVD out. It's called Footsteps to the Cross, and it's basically a concert DVD with a Lenten focus. And some of the video from that DVD is available on YouTube, in particular the song we're going to share today, Jesus Grant That Balm and Healing, is available out on YouTube, so you can get an idea of what the full DVD is like.
Very good. Thanks to Koine for letting us play there and show their music. So, and thank you for listening or watching. Please do so again next week. We'll be right here. So come back and join us.
Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed.
Jesus Christ.
Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand.